The healthcare detective, Frank Lally, has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the former editor of Money and George magazines.
I'm employed at your radio station to do some healthcare detecting, and here's how I spent my week. There's been a lot of favorable, and I'd say downright breathless, actual coverage of the healthcare benefits of the Biden administration's new so-called Inflation Reduction Act. But the bottom line is this. Hold your breath. The law the president is about to sign is a step in the right direction, but a lot of its would-be benefits got delayed, deferred, and outright eliminated before it got decided on finally. The winners are the 65 million seniors on Medicare, as well as nearly 35 million people with Obamacare, that's the Affordable Care Act, health insurance. They're the winners. The losers include the usual losers in this country. That's the 30 million people who are uninsured with health insurance and over 2 million people in the 12 red states, largely in the South, that refuse to expand Medicaid health insurance to people just barely above the poverty line. Those poor people continue to suffer. But the losers also include some unusual people, namely the executives at Big Pharma, who sooner or later are going to be forced to trim their drug prices, at least some of their drug prices. So let's start with Big Pharma. Under this law, the federal government will finally be allowed to negotiate lower drug prices for Medicare members directly with the Big Pharma makers. Now, today, the United States pays anywhere from double to seven times more for our drugs than people in other large countries where the governments routinely negotiate with the makers. But Big Pharma doesn't spend billions of dollars a year, more than any other industry, lobbying. They don't spend that money for nothing. The Medicare negotiations will begin with a baby step as a result of that lobbying. The feds will only be allowed to negotiate a total of only 10 drugs in the first year. And that first year, that's not until 2026. Now, it increases the number of drugs that can be negotiated to 20, but that takes until 2029. So, Jill, you know, what do you
think about that? I'm not allowed to use words like that on the radio. It's just because here's what I think, just totally separately. The money that were spent on lobbying were simply allocated to defray these costs, I think you'd be zero, right? Like you could
it could be better spent. There's no.
Well, it's not even about better spent. I think that the same amount of money, you know, to lobby and line the pockets of the people who are making the laws, if they were just, and I can't think of the word, and you're the finance guy, when you defray a cost by putting it towards something, they could take that money and let people buy drugs cheaper or whatever, and everyone would be at zero.
Yeah. Well,
I wish
it were true. But obviously, in the meantime here, they've got some leeway. They've got runway to raise their prices before you actually have to sit down to negotiate. But look, the experts still tell me, Jill, that the drug makers that finally get hit will see their revenues drop by up to 15% a year. And I think that's the reason that they are lobbying, you know, spending more than $2 million, $2 billion more than the insurance industry to do their lobbying, because once they get hit, it's going to be a sizable hit. 15% of revenues a year is a sizable amount. Now, the feds are also going to zero in on high-priced drugs that have been on the market for years with no competition. It's not random. They're going to be targeting. Among those initial targets, possibly, is the blood thinner Eliquis. Lots of people take that. There's a cancer drug, Imbruvica, and a diabetes medicine you've seen on television a lot lately, Ozempic. So those are three likely candidates. The bad news is, and they're popular, by the way, if you're taking any of those medicines, you probably will see your prices rise before 2026 when they have to sit down and negotiate prices with Medicare, on Medicare. Of course, Big Pharma and their Republican allies are screaming that federal negotiation for lowering prices is socialistic. I mean, they've been screaming that for years. And they're saying things like, what's next? So will the federal government come in and negotiate for food prices? Will they negotiate for gasoline prices? Now, obviously, they're not very good students of history. They don't remember that the last guy to try price controls was Republican President Dick Nixon. He was a crook. He was hardly a socialist. And the other argument, the stronger one actually, is that the lower drug prices, profits, and revenues will reduce the amount of money they can spend on research and development to develop new life-saving drugs. A lot of people are going to die. But that's largely thick-sliced baloney.
Thick?
Thick-sliced.
It's the whole hank. It's the whole roll. you have to have some sort of... You have to be in some sort of altered state to listen to that, and not you. I mean, I really truly appreciate you even delving into it. But what I can't,
it polls, Jill. That's why they use that argument. That's the argument that polls best. But the CBO, that's the Congressional Budget Office. Just to cut to the chase here, CBO has looked at this. It says, yeah, negotiation prices will reduce new drugs by 1% over the next 30 years. That's 15 drugs out of 1,300 by 2052. That's no great crisis in this country from where I'm sitting.
All right,
well, let's move on. I mean, the next good thing the law does is to finally cap the maximum that people in Medicare must pay out of pocket for drugs at $2,000 a year. Now, today, up to 3 million people in Medicare with cancer or other terrible illnesses must shell out $6,500 to get into the quote-unquote catastrophic care. You've heard me talk about this for years. Then when you're in catastrophic care, whoopee, you must pay 5% of the drug price with no maximum. Even if it's 5% of a cancer pill like I took, that costs $15,000 a month. Now, so that's 5% of a $15,000 a month pill. That's $750 a month that you owe, $9,000 a year. But again, that drug benefit is delayed. It will be phased in starting in 2024. It will be fully in place until the end of 2025. Until then, we continue to suffer with truly catastrophic drug care. But at least by 2025, we will have some real relief there. Staying on the positive side, the government is also getting the power to limit some drug price increases in Medicare to no more than inflation. Now, nearly everyone in Medicare surely welcomes that. One study showed that prices of half of all Medicare drugs, half of them, 50%, are rising faster than inflation, which leads a third of the members of Medicare to not fill their scripts, largely because of the costs. But we're going to have to see how those rules and regs shake out, Jill, before you can make a judgment about what percentage of these drugs will actually be affected. Hopefully, it's, you know, half of them, but we'll see how the rules and regs shake out. Keep an eye on that. All right. Any questions or concerns up to now? Have I been clear before I move on to a clear win for the American public in general?
Very clear. But before you do that, what rate of inflation are we using on that last one?
Well, see, that's another thing. Now, with inflation raging at 10%, these prices are still going to go very high. Inflation is inflation at this point.
So the long short, that's not capped. So this is sort of done when we're 2%.
They can't raise more than 10. It'll depend where it falls, okay? But it isn't 2% inflation like we enjoyed many years. We're now looking at 8, 9, 10% inflation. It's still worrisome. But the bill, look, on the brighter side, we do have this. generous premium subsidies for Affordable Care Act insurance will be extended for another 3 years. They were about to run out. They'll be extended. As a result, premiums will be lowered by hundreds of dollars. For nearly all 35 million people on Obamacare insurance, they're going to benefit from this. For example, anyone making, and this is just an individual now, making $19,000 can get a typical plan at no cost. And just an individual making $51,000 could save as much as $1,000 a month in some markets. Then families could be making even more and have similar savings. In addition, and listen up to this, if you're unemployed, you qualify for free Affordable Care Act insurance. And if you lost your coverage at work, the government will pay your first 6 months of COBRA payments. That's when your employer no longer chips in on your insurance and your costs are very high. But under COBRA, at least for the first 6 months, the federal government will come in and pay those bills for you. That's a big benefit. So that gets us to the mixed bag of price caps for insulin, another one of my favorite subjects. That's the medicine 11% of the population, that's 37 million diabetics in the United States, need to at least control their blood sugar, and in millions of cases, to stay alive. Upwards of 7 million Americans take insulin every day, and their costs can run as high as $300 to $500 a month, because we pay, the great United States, pays 5 to 10 times as much for insulin as other countries. The Democrats tried to cap the cost at $35 a month for everyone. Those on Medicare, those on private insurance, let's cap it at $35 a month. Senator Patty Murray, she's from Washington, said, this won't just save money, it will save lives. Good argument, except Senate Republicans refuse to extend the cap beyond Medicare. Everyone in private insurance will have to continue to shell out for their insulin. And in an alarming 25% of cases, people are resorting to rationing their doses of insulin. They're risking trips to the ER, and worse, people die rationing. By the way, over 60% of likely voters favor capping insulin, including a majority of Republicans. Now, perhaps that's one reason California's aggressive governor, Gavin Newsom, is investing $100 million for his state to contract or develop its own low-cost insulin. Now, details on that one a little fuzzy. We'll have to see how it shakes out. But you're going to hear more about this effort from the governor, who clearly would like to be the Democratic candidate for president in 2 years if Biden steps aside. Meantime.
So one way or the other, 2025, and you've got a minute left.
Yeah, that's about where you'll...
Okay,
this bill is still not signed by Biden. It's still being tweaked, but that seems to be close to the bottom line. All right, quick wrap up here. Let's recap. If you're on Medicare, the price of your insulin is going down. Also, some of your drug price increases will be held to inflation, and your overall Medicare drug costs will be capped at $2,000 at least in 3 years. Also, federal subsidies are making Obamacare more affordable and downright attractive in many cases. But if you're a poor person, especially in the South, or uninsured, you're really out of luck. And that's primarily, let's be clear about this, that's primarily because of the Republican Party blocking these advances. And here's one last point for you. The Republicans, the so-called Party of Life, the pro-life party, refuse to fund Medicaid in health insurance for the first year after birth for poor mothers and their babies. So what's the message there? The grand old party, pro-life until you're alive.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in store, and on my desk.